We get things underway this afternoon by welcoming into the program a clown, mime, juggler, magician, actor, Tony nominee, comedy historian. His latest show, Exceptions to Gravity, being presented by Penobscot Theater through the 29th of November. We're so happy to welcome to the program Avner the Eccentric, Avner Eisenberg. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Howdy. It's a pleasure to be here.
Exceptions to Gravity. Now, we're talking gravity in the Newtonian sense or in the gravity of the situation?
Both.
Perfect.
There's a lot of balancing in the show, and I try to work with objects that don't look as if they can be balanced. For example, an A-frame ladder that has this big cantilever back, a 6-foot-tall stack of paper cups, a peacock feather. And as to the gravity of the situation, just look around.
That's for certain. Is it a different experience with this show not having a live audience?
Well, we filmed it in Madrid about, I think about 10 years ago. My son was a student at UMaine in the new media department. He borrowed a couple of HD cameras. That's before all of us had HD cameras in on our telephones in our pockets. And he and my wife came over to visit. I was doing a 6-week run in a small theater there. And really more as an archival experiment, but we shot 3 or 4 shows from different angles. And when I got the call from Penobscot Theater asking if there was a film version of the show, which there generally isn't, I said, yes, there might just be. We pulled out the old footage and edited it. And luckily, we had shot the audience from several angles, and we're able to put together what really looks like what is a filmed version of the show.
Excellent. Well, I can't wait to see it. Now, you also teach classes in eccentric performing. What is eccentric performing?
Well, eccentric is an old term that comes from English music hall and vaudeville, and it was an act that, well, in physics it means away from the center, but it was an act that worked usually solo and derived its comic situations from frustration with props. So Ray Bolger, the Scarecrow in Wizard of Oz, for example, was known as an eccentric dancer, and W.C. Fields was billed himself as the eccentric juggler.
Now, you've described yourself as a new vaudevillian. What do you mean by that?
Well, this happened back in the early 80s. There was a series of shows, which you may be familiar with. Penn and Teller were now big stars on TV and in Las Vegas. The Flying Karamazov Brothers, Bill Irwin and myself. And we all did full evening shows on and off Broadway. And we all practiced what were traditionally vaudeville skills, but most vaudeville acts never did more than 10 minutes in their entire career. And we were all doing full evening shows. And Mel Gussow, who was the reviewer for the New York Times, dubbed what we were doing new vaudeville to try and explain it to people.
I was reading an interview you did a while back, and I thought it was very interesting. You were talking about the role of the clown and that it's primarily to make people feel.
That's right. The clown, first of all, it's an old Danish word that simply means country person. And this developed, you know, that the red nose is the sort of universal symbol of the clown, and people think of it as something very precious. But in fact, it comes from a time when the population, I just heard that over 80% of the population until 1920 was in rural areas and on farms, and they didn't start coming into the cities till after that, because in the middle of the 1800s was the invention of the steam engine. So little circuses came around, and they were essentially horse shows to start with, and the population was based on farms, and the horse was the engine that ran the farm. Now, every farm kid knew you shouldn't stand up on a horse. They all had broken arms to prove it. And what did these people do in these circuses? They stood up on horses. Now, when a person comes into a circus ring in glittery tights and says, I'm going to go into this cage full of lions or climb 30 meters in the air and walk on a little tightrope, we go, fine, go ahead. But there developed a character, because we know from drama that you need at least somebody one person that you can have empathy for. Empathy meaning you feel what they feel. And this was a kind of an itinerant farmhand. He was unwashed. He was uneducated. But he wandered into the ring going, gosh, that looks like fun. I think I'd like to try it. And the people who were watching, because he was one of them, would have an empathetic response of going, oh, no, don't do it. You'll kill yourself. Now, it takes a certain, to make a long story interminable, it takes a certain lack of inhibition to walk into a circus ring where you could be killed. And the thing in our culture that takes away inhibition is alcohol. And that is why clowns wear red noses.
I love that story. That is tremendous. What is the key to nonverbal comedy?
Well, I consider all comedy nonverbal. The body tells the story. It probably doesn't work real well on radio, but when you're on stage, the body really tells the story, and the words, the text that you're given by the playwright really explain and enlarge on the story that the body already told. The body expresses the emotion.
What's interesting to me, and I work with young theater kids, high school students around here, and so much of what still we think of as modern comedy has its roots in Shakespeare, a Commedia dell'arte, and those archetypes of comedy have been with us now for hundreds of years.
Thousands of years. Absolutely. I think this goes back to the first caveman. I remember in Quest for Fire, the poor guy that was carrying the fire and they were walking across a river, remember that?
I do.
And he stepped in a hole and the fire went out and he came up. And it's actually, it was a friend of mine who was the actor who did this. And the look on his face when he came out of the water looking just as guilty as he could be and so sad. And a huge laugh from the audience. No one in his band was laughing, but boy, we were laughing.
And you've talked about this before, that it's not your job as a clown to make people laugh. It's your job to experience the world and have them experience the world through your eyes. And if they laugh, well, that's great. That's gravy.
That's right. That's absolutely right. See, if you go on stage with the goal of trying to get laughs and you don't get them, you're sunk. And it's the great paradox of clowning. You have to get laughs or you're not doing your job. But so the trick is to look at laughter. I remember once I was in a show where the audience didn't laugh. It was a variety show in Germany. And I went out to dinner with the other comedy act in the show. And he said, that was terrible. I said, oh, no, it was really interesting from an existential point of view. He said, well, what do you do when they don't laugh? And I said, oh, thank God. I've got enough problems out there without people laughing at me. So if you look at laughter as an interruption, you'll never be caught flat-footed going, uh-oh, there's supposed to be a laugh there.
We're talking with Avner Eisenberg here on Downtown. You've done a great deal of work through the years with the wonderful people at Celebration Barn Theater. And Maine's got such a wonderful tradition of talented folks like Tony Montanaro, Fritz Grobe, Fred Garbo. And we count you as a Mainer now after your many years here. What is it that the folks at Celebration Barn have done so well? And can you talk about the contributions they've made to performance art here in the state of Maine?
Well, Tony single-handedly trained an entire generation of new vaudeville performers, and the ripples that he caused have spread all over the world. I've been personally teaching at the Barn. I think this was going to be my 31st year, and it was going for years before that. I heard stories. Tony used to do 3- and 6-month workshops. They didn't have heat in the barn. They would hang up sheets of plastic, and they would come into class in their overcoats with wool hats and gloves. It is the best teaching facility and opportunity that I've ever encountered anywhere. It runs usually for 8 or 10 weeks when the weather's good in the summer, and people come, and we all eat together. We all live there at the barn, and it's really, it's like summer camp with red noses.
Well, these are such challenging times for performers, but as a historian of theater and performance, well, you know that we've been through tough times before. It was Shakespeare and others survived the plague. Live performance will come back again at some point.
Oh, absolutely. And people are doing things online. It has stimulated the ingenuity of people. And there are tons of things happening online. We're really lucky. You know, Penobscot Theater is one of the few sort of traditional, legitimate theaters in the country that's running a virtual season. And I suspect that there will be more.
Exceptions.
It's really marvelous that they're doing that.
Exceptions to Gravity, playing through the 29th of November at Penobscot Theater Company. Get more information by calling the theater at 942-3333. You can go to their website, penobscottheater.org, and you will not want to miss Avner Eisenberg, Exceptions to Gravity. Have enjoyed your work for such a long time. It's a real honor for us to talk with you this afternoon.
It has been a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Avner Eisenberg with us on Downtown.